Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kind of appropriate we start out with those words with Bon Jovi because it's a very interesting read. If you haven't read it already, I was just telling you in the last segment about the three-part series in Sports Illustrated regarding Kabir Baja Biamila called Pray for Kabir, the Pastor, the Cult, and Its Troubled Past. And joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Kaylin Kaler, Sports Illustrated, the writer of the three-part series, now joining us. And you can follow her on Twitter, at Kaylin Kaler. Kaylin, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing wonderfully. This is such a fascinating, exit from football where, and I was telling the story, at one point I'm going to interview in the locker room after a ball game, some different Packer players, and Kabir had just taken over the lead in the NFL, and not a person was talking to him. And because Kabir was known at times to, instead of giving you an interview, he would try to convert you. And guys just didn't want to deal with that. They were there to get stories and talk about the game and such. And, you know, he and I had discussed numerous times kind of the methodology and the marketing of what he wanted to say. And I saw him not too long ago, a couple years ago, I should say, and he seemed pretty good, in a pretty good place. It was at a speaking engagement. But since then, things have derailed. And so what did you take away first and foremost in writing this piece about Kabir Baja Biamila?
Yeah, it's been really interesting talking to other sort of reporters like yourself who actually had experience covering him when he was a Packers player because, I did not have that experience. I'm too young for that to have been in the industry when he was a player. So to hear your guys' memories of, you know, what he was like being kind of fanatic about Christianity even then is really interesting because, you know, that was a big part of my reporting process, like looking back at who he was then to understand how he got to the point where he is now, where he's really devoted his life to kind of an extreme religious group, very insular religious group that has some kind of extreme beliefs to the point where it's broken up his family. So it was really interesting to sort of look back, talk to former teammates, talk to former coaches, the Packers Catholic chaplain at the time, Father Jim, just to get a better understanding of who Kabir was then. And you can see, and I think that was my biggest takeaway, is you can see, you know, a lot of times when you think about somebody joining a group that people might think is a cult, you think, oh, gosh, like they must be, you know, crazy or out of their mind to do that. But he's not. He's still like, you know, in my interview with him, he was still very charismatic, very friendly. Like, he's super likable. You want to like him when you talk to him. He's still, you know, I would say like a normal guy. So my biggest takeaway was that, you know, this can happen. You know, everything's on YouTube with this religious group. That's how he found them to begin with. And then he just kind of went into a deep dive on all of their content and all their videos on YouTube. So I think my biggest takeaway was just learning how, step by step, this can happen to anybody, really.
Talking with Kaylin Kaler, a Sports Illustrated writer of the three-part series Pray for Kabir on Kabir Baja Biamila. One of the things that I found interesting in your piece, and it was early on, it was in the first chapter, was he doesn't understand why people are repelling from him. And I always looked at Kabir as like a big kid. He was a big, funny, silly, likable guy, but he just really had a belief, and he wanted you to be a part of that belief, and he just was reaching out. It was like almost he was lonely and wanted to give you religion, and that's what he wanted you to bond with him on, and I understood that. But what then takes that big, likable, silly kid and puts a gun in his hand as he walks in to the Providence Academy? What about that does he not understand was wrong? What about this does he not understand people just after a while, they don't want to be beaten over the head with it? Why does he not get it?
Yeah, well, just to clarify one thing, it was not himself with the gun walking into the school program.
Correct.
It was
correct.
Two guys, right, who are part of his church, that the branch that he's running out of his home in Green Bay. So just to clarify that. But he did send them, and he admits to sending them. But yeah, he would not. He couldn't understand, you know, why people would be threatened by that, because he pointed out there, in his opinion, there are teachers at that school who carry guns, based off of his experience being on the board of that school. He was a big donor to that school. So he kept making that argument. I think one of the most interesting things that he said that is related to this is that he told us that he was studying David Koresh, who was the leader of the Branch Davidians that was raided, which is a group kind of similar to Straightway Truth, which is a group Kabir is in. And they were living, you know, on a compound in Waco, and the FBI raided them, and it became, you know, very well known, very deadly, kind of a bungled, you know, thing by the FBI and by the Branch Davidians. So he admitted that he recognizes that people may view him the same way that David Koresh and the Branch Davidians were viewed. And so he expressed a fear himself, like, not just that the Green Bay community and people living around him might be afraid and confused as to what he might do next, but he's afraid that because people don't understand him, you know, maybe the FBI is going to raid him. Maybe another religious group is going to come, and because they don't agree with what he believes, and attack his property. So I thought that was really interesting, because even though he doesn't understand why people were so alarmed by the Christmas program incident, he does have the self-awareness to know how people are viewing him, like, historically, when placed next to other religious groups that have, you know, become issues to the general public.
That's my question. When he says we have become issues, you know, when you're talking about his level of belief in God and love and stature, why then do you suddenly have to be a threatening entity to where people view you that way? You know what I mean? I've never understood that. Once you get involved to the point where people don't want to be around you, there's no way to spread your message. You're spreading it to people that are already on your side.
Yeah, and I think that's why he wants to leave Green Bay. You know, he talked a lot about wanting to move, wanting to leave the community, feeling like he's not welcome there anymore, and, you know, wanting to go somewhere where he can kind of almost like really truly start over. He has started over with his life, because he is, you know, hasn't seen his kids in 2.5 years. He's divorced now. He has a new wife and a new newborn child. So he has completely started over. And I think that's why he talked a lot about wanting to get out of Green Bay, because they just really like don't want to. This religious group is just very. They're dedicated to what they believe to the point where anyone who doesn't believe it is, you know, heathen, and you can't associate with them. You have to cut yourself off completely. So I think that's why there's like a lack of understanding, because they are told by their pastor that they need to cut off ties to anyone who is not following them in this walk, basically.
Do you get the sense that this really began when he was searching for something when he and his wife split? And I hate to play a psychotherapist here, but this kind of, when I saw this and when I started reading about this and hearing about this, it really, to me, it started to coincide with some of the things that maybe he was losing.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it started before then, because, you know, he and his wife would never, I'm assuming would never have split up had it not been for his involvement with Straightway, because that was really what drove his family apart, is his kind of like obsession with this group that, you know, his family just didn't want to be part of. So it started before then. And he told me it started basically with the birth of his daughter. He only has one daughter, and the rest of his kids, his eight kids, are all sons. And he had six sons in a row before he had his daughter. So he told me this himself, he never really wanted a daughter. And he never wanted to have to confront how to raise a daughter and how to, you know, what is a woman's role in Christianity? How does he raise a Christian woman? He never wanted to have to deal with those issues. And then when he did have a daughter, he was kind of forced to confront that. And then when he went back to the Bible to check it out, like, what does the Bible say about women? What is the biblical role of women? He found verses that told him that women are not created in the image of God. They're created in the image of man. So therefore, you know, women are this inferior gender and they are the property of men. And all of that searching on the internet and reading that interpretation of the Bible led him to Straightway Truth Ministry, which is a group he's involved in now. So really it all began with the birth of his daughter and him starting to explore that. But he had, even when he was a Packers player, he described like his faith in Christianity, he described as Old Testament Christian. So he was always really focused on Old Testament, you know, the Ten Commandments, the laws, kind of wanting to understand that and why those laws were put in place for the people of the Bible. So he'd always kind of been that way. And then the birth of his daughter really pushed him further.
So his future is to leave Green Bay to, I believe that where he would be going was Tennessee, correct?
Well, so the headquarters of this group, like the main community, is in Lafayette, Tennessee, which is like Macon County. It's pretty rural in Tennessee. So he doesn't want to go there. I asked him that specifically because that's already kind of an established community. He wants to start his, he wants to keep his community part of this ministry, but separate. So he just mentioned going to the South. He didn't mention a specific state or area of the South, but he mentioned the South because he feels like, and this was a direct thing that he said he'd rather have, he'd rather experience the racism like from the KKK, which is explicit and, you know, not hidden. It's like in your face, rather than the racism he feels he experiences in Green Bay, which is undercover. You know, it's covert. It's not, you know, people will smile and say hello, but then they'll, in his view, split up your family behind your back. So he, that's why he wants to move south. It's because he'd rather know where he stands with everyone than have people be sort of two-faced. That's his perspective.
It's an incredibly interesting read. By the time it was all said and done and you had your time with him, when you walk away, do you feel as if he's got a good grip on himself, or do you feel like he's lost, or do you, I mean, what was your impression when you walked away? Did you just have your chin on the floor going, wow, I have to absorb all of this?
Yeah, I mean, I had watched so many of his YouTube videos up to the point where I interviewed him that really nothing he said surprised me, because I'd heard some variation of it on his YouTube channel at some point, because, you know, that was the most unique part of reporting the story. Like, everything was out there on YouTube. You just had to have the patience to sit through, you know, hours and hours of YouTube videos, both Kabir's, you know, even Robert Mathis and Daniel Muir, the other two NFL players, former players involved. They had stuff on YouTube. You know, the leader, Charles Dowell, he has a whole YouTube channel. There was so much on YouTube that you could learn. So really nothing he told me in the interview really surprised me at all, except I think like the most stunning quote, and really the only part where I was like, oh, wow, so like this is really what you think, was when he talked about his children with his ex-wife Eileen. When he talked about his eight children, he compared them to being like crops. So like he said something like, if the storm washes away my crops, like it's fine, I'm just going to replant. I have a new woman. I have everything I need to create life again. And then he compared himself to Job, who is the character in the Bible who God, you know, took away everything, killed his family, all his animals and everything like that. He compared himself to Job and said, you know, Job ended up starting over and being fine, so I can do that too. And it's just the way that he talked about his family, his previous family, with like such detachment and no feeling whatsoever, that surprised me, because that's how you know, like, okay, like this is, he's serious about this and he is really not going to be changing his mind. Like, this is his life now. And that's why I kind of ended the story the way I did, with just one sentence saying, this is what he believes, because it's what he believes and this is his life. He is not turning back.
It is interesting, and it is just, it makes you kind of scratch your head as to the mind of one particular person. Kaylin, it's a fascinating read, and again, we're going to point him to Sports Illustrated. It's a tremendous three-part series. Thanks for taking some time out and talking with us a little bit, okay?
Thanks so much, Bill. Have a great rest of your day.
Absolutely. You too. Kaylin Kaler, Sports Illustrated writer of the three-part series called Pray for Kabir. It is, as you read it, and again, if you didn't do the research like she did, where you're watching hours and hours of YouTube, as you read it, you start to go, what? It goes beyond the expanse of logic as to how some people think. Right or wrong, it just does. And it makes you, as a logical person, go, how does somebody not understand the illogicalness of this, if that's even a word? But it's a tremendous read.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.